This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Good morning this morning, and welcome to Guardian Radio AM. This is C.A. Nuri, and I am delighted that you've joined me this morning. Before I start, I would like to congratulate PM Philip Davis for convening a crime task force to deal with this apparent uptick of serious crime. From my recollection, the Prime Minister has joined two previous Prime Ministers that I know of who have done something similar. That is, bringing the stakeholders together in order to address this specific issue. I assume that as part of the Prime Minister's crime response, the government has re-embraced the idea of having police officers within the public schools. Apparently, there is also an uptick in crime within the government public school system. In fact, crime incidents are so abnormally high that the Minister of Education and the Teachers Union presidents have seemingly agreed that there is a state of emergency in schools. Subsequently, they have the only conclusion is, and only remedy is to, in order to safeguard the teachers and the staff and the students, is in fact to bring the police into schools in order to police our children. And today I'm gonna have a conversation. Is having the police in school adequate? Is it a good thing, right? Is this the only course of action we can take? What type of crisis we have in school so that we are determined to bring back police in the schools, right? And I wanted to play my first clip because this is going to be the introduction on the whole premise of what I'm going to be discussing today. So, Mr. Producer, at your convenience, just play that and then let's start having that discussion. Go ahead, Mr. Producer.
Nine senior and junior high schools will now be manned by police officers, and Government High School is confirmed in that list, as officials say they'll do all they can to keep campuses safe.
The decision to place officers back in schools comes nearly a week after a male student was stabbed at A.F. Adderley Junior High School. The Education Minister and National Security Minister both made the case for reinstating officers on campuses.
We are not going to sacrifice their future. Now, the issue of safety is a compelling one, and we have been obliged. We must do something to stabilize the environment.
One thing that everyone agrees to is that the police have a place in school.
Government High is not the only public school with an officer now attached. Other senior high schools include R.M. Bailey, C.C. Sweeting, C.V. Bethel, and Doris Johnson senior high schools. Police officers have also been reintroduced to a handful of junior high schools, including C.H. Reeves, T.A. Thompson, and A.F. Adderley. Hannah Martin says despite criticism in the past surrounding a school policing program that was introduced under the former Christie administration, she says there is now widespread support for the more recent move.
We just need a collaborative effort of everybody in the community for us to do what we can to stabilize our young people.
Last week, Bahamas Union of Teachers President Belinda Wilson told the Nassau Guardian she would support officers in schools, as she said it would provide for another layer of protection for students and teachers. As for whether campus police officers will be armed, Monroe had this to say.
How they choose to equip the police who go into the schools would be a function of their intelligence, would be a function of what they need.
Hannah Martin says while placing officers in some schools is an immediate fix, she says officials hope it will not have to be a permanent one. Reporting for R News, I'm Jasmine Brown.
Hopefully not a permanent one. See, I don't necessarily have any issue with having police in schools, you know. At this present time, I'm trying to understand what is this crisis they're speaking about. And apparently, some teachers, some staff are saying, nearly it bad. They have students coming to school with guns and knives. They have fights almost every day. They have students who are becoming injured. You know, we have cases, and one recently, where a student died, murdered on campus or off campus. So there's a need. There's a need for an extra layer of security. And that's what we're going to say. What does that mean, extra layer of security? So to help me with this conversation today, I brought in a security specialist, a renowned security specialist who's known in this particular region, actually. He's a consultant. He's a trainer. He specializes in business continuity and crisis management, security, fraud, and cyber risk solution. He's Kamal Nuri. He has relations with me. He's a relative. But he is, like I said, regionally known for what he does. He creates strategy on how to deal with crisis. And since there is a crisis, and since we're throwing the police at this crisis, I said, let me bring a specialist who can analyze what is wrong with the school and perhaps give some suggestions on what it is that the police will be doing, should be doing, or what hasn't been analyzed and interacted or implemented better in the schools. So I introduce to you Kamal Nuri.
Pleasant good morning, Cecil. Pleasant good morning, Bahamas. It's a pleasure to be here. And I look forward to a very exciting conversation about the current dilemma or crisis that is being put out there as regards to, you know, police officers in schools. You know, I look forward to a very good conversation. So thank you for having me.
Yes, and thanks, sir. Let's get right into it. Because, you know, I have one or two long voice notes and I want you to comment on that, too. Like I said, I'm uneasy with it, right? One of the first things I'm uneasy with is that I'm not sure we have enough police officers. Just recently, the Minister of National Security saying that we need 900 more police officers immediately just to be adequate. And I'm saying, do we necessarily need a contingent of police officers to man the school every day at a long period of time? Or can it be something that is rotated that they casually pass by and do rounds? But before I do that, I want you to give some strategies that you think the school can implement from your professional. And tell me about your business too, so I can understand why you would be able to give strategies that the school can implement immediately.
Well, like you indicated initially, Preventative Measures is a security management firm, and we specialize in risk assessments and identifying risk and certainly measures to mitigate risk from a security perspective. And that includes everything from physical security to business continuity strategies. You know, listening to on face value of what has been said and what has been put out into the media, and the suggestion that there is a crisis. You know, if that's the case, then one would have hoped that it is not a knee-jerk reaction to the situation. And I say that in that, yes, there's a crisis, but how, when you would rate a crisis on a scale to 1 to 5, is it that the house is burning down? Is it that there's smoke? Is it where there's an electrical issue and you know that there's the potential for fire? So when you're doing an assessment, you have to really appreciate the criticality of the current condition. And is there fighting every day in the schools where you need to bring in the police to arrest somebody?
Kamal, the teachers, I'm scared.
Fair is reasonable, but the response has to be reasonable as well. So do we, because I'm afraid, do we now bring in guns a-blazing? And you know, it is interesting, one of the clips, you know, where are we going to put firearms in the schools? Are the police going to be armed based on the intelligence? Well, I would counter that and ask the question, if we have intelligence that little Johnny is carrying a gun, then let's just not let little Johnny go to school, eh? That's an easy fix, in
one
my
would
opinion.
Think so.
If there's intelligence that dictates or would help me to put out a rules of engagement as it pertains to, am I going to arm officers with firearms? What is the rule of engagement with the officer in the firearm? If he's shot, does he shoot back? I always have a challenge when, you know, the quick go-to method is a police or a firearm. And I have nothing against firearms, but that's a different dynamic totally, because there's always the potential for collateral damage. So what is the crisis? And you know, government schools average anywhere between 800 to 1,500 persons in that school population. How many police are you going to put in there?
Right now, they have one to two. So to patrol the entire school.
So one to two police officers, with us being deployed into a huge square footage. That's one. And that's just square footage dealing with the physical asset. But now you have the human asset, meaning you have students, you have teachers, you have faculty members, you have potential guests, people who are delivering. It's a pretty big area of responsibility to deploy two individuals who should be... Where are you going to place them? Are they going to be deployed at the gates? Okay, if they're deployed at the gates, then they're going to be doing metal checks. Are they going to be patrolling? It's a very, you know, more information is needed to make a proper assessment. But like I said, on face value, it seems very knee-jerk in the response.
But let me ask you this. Is security different from policing?
Very much so.
And explain that, because I saw a letter by the staff and administration of AFILE School after the incident that happened there. And they give some recommendation. And one of the recommendations said they need to improve their security.
Well, you know, Cecil, frankly, if you are going to deploy police in your school system, you are saying that your security system, your security program is a failure.
Yes,
has failed, and is a continuously failed, because it's two different dynamics. Policing is enforcement. Now, there's some security and preventative aspects of policing, but a police officer is empowered more so on the act, whereas a security officer is empowered more so on the intent. Okay, so if there's an intention to do something, then a security officer has the opportunity to stop you. Hey, you can't come inside here because the rules say X, Y, Z. You should be dressed this particular way. You should have this particular type of equipment. So all of these things are put in play with regards to how the police and security operate. So deploying police into the schools, you're saying, admitting, and this is more so an indictment on education, that, hey, our security system is a failure. And they may not like that harshness and that frankness and that bluntness of the commentary, but that's what you're saying.
But let me piggyback on that before you go any further. How would you improve the Ministry of Education security system?
Well, fundamentally, let's look at what policies and procedures are in place that empower the security officer while on property. Mm-hmm. Let's look at that. And I think I've heard, you know, again, news clips about what is the role of the security officer and what they should be doing. Well, we need to look at that initially.
Right? They say that the security officers only protect the building, not the staff, not the students. They don't engage in any of that.
Well, again, if you go to a risk assessment and you look at what is your number one and most valuable asset, your number one and most valuable asset is people. I mean, in any situation, whether you're protecting chickens or you're protecting students, I mean, hey, the property is an occupied property. Now, maybe if the officer is engaged, let's say from 4 p.m. to 5, 7 a.m. in the morning, then, of course, his priority would perhaps be the asset, the physical asset. But if the officer is on that property, I mean, common sense. I mean, you don't need you don't need GCs for that. You know, that's quite simple. So let's look at policies and procedures. How are we empowering these officers? And then from that, let's train them. Let's educate the students and the teachers as to the role, so that, you know, you call a hotline regarding a computer.
Okay.
They ask you some fundamental questions. Did you do A? Did you do B? Did you do C? So the security officer should be empowered to conduct certain things, and then if there's a need, the police are called. I would ask a question. If a fight breaks out with the police on the campus, who does the police look to assist them in mitigating that fight? The faculty and the security officers. But they have not been trained, specifically the security officers, to do that. So let's train the security officers, empower them, and that's only a matter of policy. If there's a need for legislation, then enact the legislation. You know?
I accept that, and it seems so easy. But at this present time, it seems as if the school is content with having security office
secure the premises and that they need help and that they need support of the police in order to police the students, right? And you hinted that policing and security is different, right? And that the police not necessarily has the tools in order to safeguard the entire premises and those who are in the premises.
No. For clarity, can a police officer function as a security officer? Certainly he can, right? But in a similar way, you can also have a security officer conduct duties that will enhance their prevention mechanism. So if you want to put a police officer in the school and you're looking at the population, you're going to put two officers or three officers or four officers based on an 800 to 1500 population. My question is the effectiveness of that. If you have not done some things before that, what are you doing at the gates? What are you doing in the classroom? How about random checks? I mean, who are the troublemakers in the school? If there is intelligence, whether that's police intelligence or intelligence from the fact that I teach in a school and I know the bad boys as a teacher, I know the bad boys. Mm-hmm. When they come in my class, I know the troublemakers in my class versus the students who are going to perform. If we have some high-risk troublemakers, and we know that there's a potential for firearms, then why don't we move them out of the schools to begin with?
It seems as if the school is overwhelmed. Because I know when we were in school, if you were a bad boy, you get put out. And if you didn't get put out, you get a in-school or out-school suspension, and you go to programs. You go to Shore, to Boys Industrial School, you go to a family island. But it seems as if the school is now forced to keep boys in the school or these bad students in the school.
But that speaks again to policy legislation by whether it's a school, Ministry of Education, or government that can make these things change. I mean, you made a decision to take the police out. You made a decision to put the police in.
So it just happened to policy.
So and then I'd like to see the policy on putting the police in. And this is, again, another...
They didn't share it with nobody. We have no idea why they went back in.
This is not a gray area, right? What is the rules of engagement, the policies, the protocols for putting police officers in schools so that the officer is protected? Mm-hmm. Don't forget, now that officer is also a human being and he may be exposed to violence. What are his powers? He also exposes the police force to potential
lawsuits
liability
and stuff. Yeah, yeah.
Because if he acts beyond the scope, but what was the scope to begin with?
Especially dealing with children.
Yes,
and people's children.
Exactly. Yeah. And so we have to look at all of this as we put in this is a different tier. Mm-hmm. And you're bringing in an outside agency to come into another agency. Is there a policy? Is there a protocol? And we sometimes miss that until we have some smart attorneys that come along and point out, hey, wait a minute, you have an adult operating in this school, mm-hmm. a law enforcement officer operating in this school. Can a police officer speak to a minor without their parent being in place?
And question them. And detain them.
See, these are the little things.
Have a QCU proposal. Surely they had to consider that.
I would hope they would consider that. Or does that
shouldn't there be a public debate about these things more comfortable?
No. I don't know if there's a public, but there should be better disclosure. I don't think we need to have a debate. I think this is not rocket science. Mm-hmm. But there are some things that need to happen that should happen that go into more detail as to the pros, the cons, and how I'm to operate. I come into your building, right? This is Guardian's building. There's a certain protocol. Mm-hmm. I don't just walk in and walk all the way upstairs. I'm stopped at the gate. Well, first I'm buzzed in mm-hmm. to begin with, right? So I stop at the receptionist, and she asks certain questions. I sign in. Then I wait for an escort. Mm-hmm. That's protocol. So what are the protocols?
And we don't need police to do all of that.
Protocols, right? Mm-hmm.
And I have a caller. I'm going to buzz the caller in right now. But it seems as if that the Minister of Education or the Minister of National Security can implement laws or at least propose laws to make the security officers more able to control their environment in terms of policing or give them some special training. One of the issues where I see that the school that who wrote the letter to both them said that they need surveillance, you know, technology. And instead of technology, they said, no, we can send some police officers too, you know, and they will be the eyes. And they will patrol around the school and see everything, right? But let me get this call. Go ahead, caller.
Good morning, y'all guys. How you doing?
I'm doing well.
This is my first time calling.
Good.
Yeah, I'm the bunker leader here. I agree with this gentleman, but and agreeing with him in addition, do you allow me to express myself without cutting me off?
No, man, you're talking.
I know some of you are.
No, go ahead. Go, just quickly do it.
Okay. You know, we need to get into recruitment. Recruit young men and women to cover all government schools, get them trained by the Defense Force in collaboration with the police force. Once they are trained, they will be covering the whole entire school spectrum. I agree with my officers guiding their school. They ain't trained for that. And if something happens, they're going to react based on their training. If a gun is there, they're going to react on that. Every school needs a detector, high school and junior school. We just need to put the Ministry of Security, instead of running them out, we need to put a system in place now to solve this problem, how we're going to secure our schools now and the future. I'm the one and only punk leader. Have a good day.
I appreciate that. And it still boils down to security.
Yeah,
you know?
And I just want to advocate to that. You can get just as good or even better security training from private agencies like Preventative Measures, because security and law enforcement and any bench in military, again, different rules of engagement, different level of expertise. It's like if you go to a doctor, and I'm a doctor, and I'm a dentist.
Mm-hmm.
Are you going to go to me to do a heart surgery because I'm a doctor? Mm-hmm. No, you're going to look for that specialist in that particular area. And again, because we have allowed, I'm probably going to get hit for this, but I can take hits, right? Because we have allowed this mindset of just this police as a blanket mechanism for security officers,
mm-hmm.
or for security, then we miss a lot of nuances.
Mm-hmm.
And this is not to take anything away from the police. Their specialty is law enforcement. Their specialty is to interdict, engage at a particular level with certain powers, with certain authorities. But in the private sector, in a private property, there's a different type set of rules. So and again, if you're working in a security in a hospital versus security in a hotel versus security in a school, it's a security officer, but then it's a different assets,
mm-hmm.
at play, different emotions at play. And certainly when you're dealing with minors,
yes.
it's a different type of risk. So just to say blanket and just throw out there.
I find that most police have a blanket type training. They go and get a police training. And I'm concerned whether if the police at AF Adley and the police at RM Bailey should be trained at the same type of level. There should be certainly different nuances regarding that.
So, certainly there should be different nuances. And even within the police force, you have specialist areas. You, mm-hmm. you have CID, you have road traffic, you have persons in the forensic lab, you have persons in the police band. So you even within that scope. So again, this blanket approach, just throwing bodies, so to speak, at a problem without thoroughly, you know, in this society, you know, looking at what are the nuances specific to that particular risk and the threat, you know, the threat that's there. You know, I smile, like I said, if there's intelligence that says that Johnny has a firearm, then let's take Johnny out of school. Let's go to Johnny's house. Let's stop him before he gets to school, you know?
And thank you. You are listening to Guardian Radio AM. This is C.A. Nuri, and I'm having a conversation with strategist and preventative measures consultant CEO Gamal Nuri. And he's talking about security and what the schools need, right? Join me on the other side of the break.
Always on the go? Missed the show? You can now listen to Guardian Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to guardiantalkradio.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you with fresh news and smart talk anywhere, anytime, all day.
Loss of family members is very isolating, and people who have experienced loss appreciate when others have shared their grief. If you can't be there in person, go to the Nassau Guardian's website online at thenassauguardian.com and visit our obituary link. The Nassau Guardian's interactive obituary link allows you to read the funeral announcement, express condolences, or place photos on the online guestbook for one full year. Losing a loved one is painful, but that pain isn't the worst thing to happen. Friends, loved ones, colleagues, and neighbors who ignore the loss compound the pain. Should the bereaved family wish to place the obituary and photos on our obituary site, just contact the Guardian's funeral industry partners or the Nassau Guardian. Remember, there isn't one magic right thing to say to someone experiencing loss that will make the loss less painful or easier to bear. The Nassau Guardian's obituary link, available online at thenassauguardian.com.
This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM.
So, on the issue of police in schools. So, this is not the first time that the police would have been invited to come into schools, and it was discontinued for some reason or the other. I really don't know. But first thing is, at present, we are having a crisis. Not all of the incidents reach the media, but there's a crisis with violence in the schools. Now, the police and their role in all of this will be to aid the school in crowd management, right? Not necessarily for locking up per se, but in terms of crowd management, in terms of extra eyes on the student population to help manage their behavior, or to help them manage their own behaviors, right? But of course, I would recommend it for this temporary time, but the plan should not be to need to have police straight through. Like, you can't use that as a crutch. To deal with a crisis, first you need to respond to it to be able to manage it. But then you also need to get ahead of it. And so the police alone is not a panacea. It's not a magic bullet that we can have the police and then boom, that's it. No. And in addition to that, you must have the police who have an understanding of what their role actually is. So it cannot be a knee-jerk reaction alone. Of course, you have to have a knee-jerk in a crisis. You have to respond. But that's just, like I said, to help you manage the crisis. In order to get ahead of it, you have to do some other things. And that's where training, that's where development, all of that comes in. And it calls for a multifaceted, multi-institutional approach. But this is where we are as a country, you know. We have to be able to repurpose our resources to suit our needs and not just focus on what was happening in the 20th century or what we think should be happening. And so that means that even the University of the Bahamas should be involved. They should be the ones studying what's happening and evaluating the policies so that they can advise the government, okay, should we continue with this? Should we not continue with that? So the police should be in the schools, and it should be at first a temporary thing, where we say for about a month or so, we're going to have them in, but we also want to evaluate the effects of it so that you could tweak it along the way. Part of our challenge, being an underdeveloped country, is that we think in terms of like this magic bullet. So we do this one thing and then that's it. But people who are creators understand that sometimes you might go in one direction, and after you evaluate it, you realize, hold on, I have to turn around, or I have to tweak it a little bit. And so the idea of police being in the schools is not to say, okay, that is the solution, but it is a temporary adjustment to be able to manage the crisis that's happening, in order for our children in the public school system to be safe. Because right now we might be saying, okay, these are individuals who have a problem with each other. But who knows what it could escalate into with the temperature of violence that's in the country. And so we have to try and make our children safe. But in addition to that, we also have to address the social ills. These social ills spill over into the school from society. And so we have to be able to address those social ills, the things that are causing our children to not see value in themselves, to be able to hurt and damage each other. So we have to work on that. Of course, you have institutions like Program Sure, the suspension centers that will all be a part of this overall program. And one of the good things I think about the minister that we have now is that she is willing to try new things. She's willing to try old things, but she's listening to people who has had experience dealing with this. And so it is a collaborative effort. Of course, it won't be something like it's a perfect fix, because I could imagine for the police to be involved, it would mean in their traditional roles, there might be some deficits. And so that begs the question to be looked at through a wider scope rather than through a narrow lens. And if we're talking about national development, that's where it's going to be. And so just going through the efforts will help to move us forward. It will first coming up with the ideas, implementing them, then evaluating them. That's how you move a country forward. And then you bring in all the resources that are needed. Take, for example, if schools are allowed to open or to dismiss the students at a staggered rate, yeah, that will cause for some change, but change can be good, you know. It will have some discomfort, but growth comes through discomfort. So if schools are staggered, it means that instead of having maybe 500 students leave the school at one time and administrators having to deal with them and be on campus also, adding the police adds bodies to the whole process, you know, that and the process being...
And that was Ian Morrow, who is administrative assistant at Program Shore, and also a civic teacher there, and a member of the Indaba Project, which is inner city NGO. And the reason why I brought him in and to give that statement is I didn't know Shore still existed. I thought they closed down. And for those who are not familiar with Shore, this was the school other than the Boys Industrial School, Garvantine School. This was a school for bad boys who needed strong discipline and extra attention. And that the idea that Shaw exists as a suspension school says wonders that something is happening and that there are activities that can happen, right? I'm just going to the text. A great show as usual. At this point, us parents will take responsibility for these kids. Can't be the government doing everything. Back in the day, our parents used to do random room search. Does that still happen? Okay. First thing they need to do is to hire able-bodied security. I have seen middle-aged females as security at some of these schools. These schools need more male presence in the schools. Next text. These guys are gang members, and I take it the security is probably afraid because these guys will come by and to seek revenge. That's one again. Let's see. Good show, Brother CA and Gamal Nuri. Wish Belinda Wilson would call you now while you are on air. Brother Nuri, they are literally finding guns, cocaine, and other illegal drugs very often on school campuses. That's beyond security. That's a police matter. These kids are deep in the drug gang. And that may be so. And Intel will explain that. But just recently on social media, there was Intel. Someone leaked a video And I'm not sure if my guest even could comment on that. Someone leaked a video of the police giving detailed intel on who all had the gang members. They had their photos, they had their names, where they lived, they had their nicknames, they where they hanged out, the aliases, they had how much money they make, they have which corner they worked on, they have the hierarchy of who's in charge, who's the second lieutenant, who's the third lieutenant, who's the errand boy, which school member, which school they sell the stuff to. It was so detailed. So the intel exists because it was so detailed. And it was circulating. I'll give you notes now and tell you who all in charge of all the gang members right now by that one video.
Yeah.
Right? But I have a guest here, and I'd like him to comment on, again, on security. What is it that we should be doing in the schools?
Yeah, and you know, listening to the comment coming from the gentleman from Shore, I agree with him wholeheartedly. Surprisingly, that Shore is, I wasn't aware that Shore was still in play. And that, again, speaks to, you know, long-term programs that can help to mitigate this situation. If we're going to continue with an attempt to safeguard schools, and I go back to my initial point, you know, improve the security mechanisms. The fact that you find firearms and you find drugs, this is not a new thing. I was in school at one point in my life, quite some time ago. Big up to St. John's class of 88.
Look where you're
going. Stop. Okay. I know where you're going. I know where you're going, homeboy.
I shall stop.
But big up to St. John's class of 88. But you know, this is not new. And so again, but the fact that you're finding these things tells me that you're doing some things, meaning you're doing your searches. You're doing your checks. You know who the individuals are. We need to expand upon this. And if there's a crisis, and I submit, you know, if there are statistics to provide support for this commentary that there's an overwhelming crisis within the schools, and you feel that the police need to be in play, and this is your spearhead, it cannot be your entire battle. It cannot be. There has to be mechanisms. There are mechanisms in place to reduce the risk, to reduce the exposure. Everything from training the security guards to developing response response strategies in the event of a fight, to programs like Shore, and we talk about Shore. I'll talk about programs like the Boys Brigade, the Pathfinders, the Boy Scouts, Boys and Girl Scouts, Boys and Girls Brigade that are out there in society. We have this thing about reinventing the wheel. We want to go and make this new program, that new program. We have programs in the community that exist right now that need the funding that can assist in relieving or reducing the crime situation. I noted, if I could recall, the meeting, the photograph of the meeting, I saw that there was the minister of youth, sports, and culture. I think youth, sports, and culture should be the spearhead for crime prevention in this society. And what is the funding for that organization, for that agency? Because students, kids need some type of structured programs that will help them to appreciate rules, that will help them to appreciate penalties. And an agency like youth, sports, and culture, another ministry, social services, where we do have some extreme cases where children are going through psychological and emotional stresses, whether it's at home, you know, family life, which is causing them to sort of lean and migrate toward gang culture or some type of violent outburst. So what are we doing in these agencies? Yes, the police have a role to play, but they should not be the continuous spearhead in mitigating crime and security issues. It's not practical. And this is my opinion. If you're looking at, you know, a comprehensive long-term strategy, we have to go and get into the heads of these young persons. We have to give them a structured program, and you don't need the police to lead that. You know, the police can be a part of the program, but they don't need to lead that program.
Well, let me just mention what the teachers of AF Adley wrote to the ministry and to the Minister of National Security. He said they want, in order to improve the campus life, they want to reinstate weekly assemblies, staggered lunch times, and have increasing complement of security personnel in the short term. And the letter also went on to say that they need to have a visitor log, right? And where they ask for identification, where anyone who come on campus needs to be escorted. These are simple things.
These are simple things that should be happening.
And apparently these are not happening.
But this is what I talked about earlier. Putting the police there is saying that we have failed, and this is what we need to address. We need to address the failures. You're telling me, let me give you a cases in point, right? You have several high risk or high profile locations in this country. I would use the prison. Mm-hmm. I would use the port, mm-hmm. The cruise port. I would use LPIA. Mm-hmm. Who manages
private security firms?
Security firms. It's a security initiative. And what is entailed in that is simple things just like what these teachers are asking for.
But let me go to the callers, Kamal, because I know you're talking. Sure. But go ahead, caller. Let me the first caller that's going to let you go and respond to this.
Mr. Nuri.
Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, hello. Good morning to my fellow St. John's Gray and Green. It's an 82 graduate here.
Indeed.
Yeah, listen, I and what you said, it was multifaceted, and I agree, right? But two things are lacking. Firstly, technology is leading us to believe that we can create this idealistic type society. So if you have a camera and no one to respond to what's on the camera, it's still a census paradigm. But there are other ways, you know, because the students have innovative ways of getting these objects on the campus, right? You must acknowledge that. And so one of the problems I'm seeing is I haven't heard anybody had the, well, you should invite some, let's hear from some of the students who are not in gangs and what they would like to see and what they would like to their environment to be like on the campus. And that will, because, you know, we tend to exclude them in the dialogue. And I learned, because I have a 6-year-old daughter, and I learned some things from her and all. And so I realized as we get older, we tend to downplay the ideals of children, especially the ones that are actually living it. And so when I heard you said the drugs on the campus, you know, the weed was always there, but when you said the cocaine, then I realized that. And so you must be mindful of what you're seeing in these contemporary times. You're seeing, the other day, a couple of years ago, there was a 14 or 15-year-old found shot dead in the back of Yellow or somewhere. You have a 15, 16-year-old getting charged with murder, running down another with guns, 17. So you got to look at this paradigm. The security officers' lives will be in danger. So unless we come up with like the ways that you're saying, really, some innovative security measures, et cetera, but these guys like still be in danger because the people who don't live in the inner city, they're not realizing, that, like you said, we have failed. I agree with that schoolmate. We have failed. And so in being in the inner city and having a business in the inner city, I've seen the destruction. I've seen the high school dropout rate. I've seen, all right, you don't downplay this gang thing, my brother. Just go deep. So all who sitting in these ivory towers, I'm not saying you, but in particular, I'm talking in general, the people who sitting in just trying to idealize the situation. They have no idea what's going on.
And thank
these
you
young fellas will come for you, all right? So you could take it however you want. I saw Geographics. A 2-year-old lion tried to take down an elephant by itself. That's the same thing.
I have another caller. I don't want to cut you, but I have other callers who want to call in and, you know, run out of time, but I appreciate it. Go ahead, next caller. Go ahead, caller.
Yes, Belinda Wilson, you all provoked me to call in.
Go ahead.
Yes.
You say that you're afraid. The teachers are afraid.
I missed who the guest is, but he is a St. John's graduate, and I am also from St. John's College. But let me say, I thought that I'm not here to litigate or push any agenda for the government, let me be clear, or for the ministry or Department of Education. My job is to ensure that the safety of the teachers, that the teachers are safe in their work environment. And by extension, it means that the students would be safe. So I heard just a little bit, because I just turned on, where your guest is saying that the security officers that would be asking for at AF Adderley, and would be asking for at AF Adderley, is not new. We've been writing to the ministry and the Department of Education for years now. I'm recommending the same thing. The police is not the end-all and be-all, but it, in our minds, it is a part of a safety package or comprehensive plan for safety on school campuses. The security officers do not have any remit over students. They do not have any authority to touch any student, to apprehend any student. The security officer's job is to protect the government's buildings. That's their job, the government's buildings and the government's assets, physical assets.
But surely that could be changed, right, through legislation and policy?
It could be changed, but it's not changed today. So if we are experiencing children bringing illegal weapons onto the campus, if we are experiencing drugs on the campus, The principal and her team, nor the teachers or the guidance counselors or the security, has the authority to search that child, to investigate, to gather intelligence. That's the police job. So we're not saying, oh, the police in the school is going to end all of our problems. No, what we're saying is, if you have the police in the school, and let me also say this too, there are different ways that the police can participate or be in the schools. And prior, and everybody's saying they can't find the school policing manual, there is a school policing manual that was used around 2005 to 2007 when the police first were introduced to the school. The BUT had one of our officers that served on that committee. The Commissioner of Police was also a part of that committee and several other stakeholders. So there is a school policing policy. There's a school policing manual which guides how the police should function in a school environment. So they're not just to walk up to the church and say, oh, you arrested. No. They are there to gather intelligence. If there is a crime, even now, without the police in the 170 schools throughout the Bahamas, the first thing is the principal has a duty to call the police because it's a crime. We're not there. We are there to teach. And the children who want to learn are there to learn. So the safety and security and the crime and violence, we can't teach and do that too.
Ms. Wilson, and I appreciate you calling in, right? And I hear the passion that you have for your teachers and that you represent. But the question then, from what you're saying, what you're suggesting, is that that without, at this point, there's really no security or protection mechanism in place for individuals. There's a protection mechanism in place for property, but there's no
government building.
The property, the assets, the physical assets.
Yeah.
But your teachers, our students, our kids, our persons who are administrating these facilities, there's no protection mechanism in place for that, for them?
No, sir.
Wow, wow.
So if a crime is committed, we get on the phone and we call. Y'all can send a police. Wow. So, and then not only that, I'm not at liberty to say publicly some of the things that's happening, but the national security minister, they have intelligence. They've gathered information. They know that there's a concern. And let me also tell y'all this too. The gangs are out on the street and in the community. But where do those children come from? Out of the same houses and yards and community where the gangs are. So where y'all think the farm, where you think they're producing these young gang members from? The students that come to our schools. And so if we're going to teach and the children are going to learn, I mean, we can't, we cannot do the double duty.
So,
of trying to do the police officer's job. Their job is to deal with crime. We're not trained for that.
No, so we're not putting it on. We're not putting that responsibility or that primary responsibility on the teachers. But certainly, what it sounds like to me, and this is Gamal Nuri, this is the guest. It
yes.
sounds like to me that certainly the duties or authority of the security and the administrations need to be expanded, because even with the police on campus, even with the police on campus, you still have your average population is anywhere from 8 to 1,500. That's what information I have.
800 to 1,000.
Okay, so certainly that's a massive group of persons to police and to monitor. So,
because I see y'all running with that quickly. Actually, it's not only the police. If y'all have read what it is that we've asked for, so we've asked for metal detectors, we've asked for the perimeters of the schools to
right.
be, I'm sure, enough for
right.
fences to be fixed, for the walls to
and
be
that's
fixed.
What happened.
We've asked for rotation of the security officers. We asked for security officers and police to be placed strategically within and around the school campuses. We've asked for the bag searches. We've asked for cameras. So there is a number of a plethora of things are needed for us to deal with what we're dealing with. And people say, oh, well, if they don't fight in the school, they'll fight outside the gate or in the community. Well, what I'm saying is, if they're going to fight outside in the community, we understand that and we can't control that. What I am saying as the president of the BUT, and I stand by this, everything, every human resource, every material, every equipment, every technology that the government can put in there needs to be put in there. Not only that, y'all were talking about Shaw, we ain't got time for that. Shaw needs to be expanded. They need to find out what the objective of Shaw is.
And we agree with you on that 100%.
And I thank you very much, Ms. Wilson. But I want to close with my guest, right? How do we get in contact with you in order to help the government, in order to help persons with their security?
Well, I can be reached on LinkedIn, Preventative Measures, or you can reach me at Gamal Nuri. I'm on Facebook, LinkedIn. My phone contact is 357-9949, and I'm certainly available to assist individual groups and the government to help better and make a safe and secure environment for our country.
And this was Guardian Radio in the AM. This is C.A. Nuri. Clearly, I need more than an hour. I need at least an hour and a half to make sure flesh these things out. But it's definitely a pleasure today. We definitely need to assist our government. We definitely need to assist our schools and give them ideas, right? It's more than just policing. It's about securing the compound, securing the facilities, and creating strategies in order to make the teachers, the staff, and the students be safe. Take care of yourself. Juan is next. And take care. Bye-bye.